Welcome to the third and final sample lesson of the Srila Prabhupada, our Founder Acharya seminar. I've selected three lessons from each of the three phases of the seminar. The first was the signature lesson of the seminar, Srila Prabhupada, our Founder Acharya, which was deepening our awareness of Prabhupada's position. Finding our mission within the mission is deepening our service to Prabhupada's mission. And this is the next lesson. Lesson 8 in the series is to love is to cooperate. The prayojana phase, tasting the fruit of the process, which is love. And there's 10 lessons in the seminar. This is the first lesson in the prayojana phase. And I wanted to present it because it's eternally timely. Hardest thing to do in Kali Yuga is to cooperate. It's the age of quarrel, hypocrisy, pretense, non-cooperation, basically. So, here is the transition from the last lesson. Thank you. Having discovered that developing our service to our Founder Acharya's mission is the key to developing an intimate relationship with him, we now face a very human challenge, performing our service cooperatively with his devotees. Okay, so this is Mayapur, early 70s, or early mid-70s. And there you see some very strong personalities, most of them leaders, very different. And why are they able to cooperate? Because, well, in this case, literally in the center, there is Srila Prabhupada. As Professor Tom Hopkins said from Franklin and Marshall University, when he was interviewed about his experience with the devotees, when he finally met Swamiji on 26 Second Avenue, he realized here's the person who makes it all go. Because first of all, he had met Swamiji's followers, and they didn't know much at that point. And he was wondering, how is this going on? But then he finally met Swamiji. He said, oh, this is the person that makes it all happen. So Srila Prabhupada's vapu is not manifest, but his vani is everlastingly manifest. And that's the challenge, to keep our ear, so to speak, to the ground of the vani, so that we can continue, preserve, perpetuate, expand, develop his life, his teachings, his mood, his mission. So to love is to cooperate. And here's how we start. Whoops, I didn't turn my thing on yet. Any questions so far? Yes, Tattva Vit Prabhu.
Someone might have doubted this time that Prabhupada is present and able to give instruction.
Time, place, circumstance. Right. Yes, that's a very common doubt. And the answer is that Srila Prabhupada is present in his vani. Just like when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was here in September 1977, speaking, did I tell this? And he was saying, he was recounting Prabhupada's life, the highlights of Prabhupada's life, especially his preaching lila. And at one point, TKG said, and then I said, Srila Prabhupada, he only met his spiritual master, fewer than 10 times. And then when he said that, he said he noticed Srila Prabhupada, a smile start to curl over Prabhupada's lips. And then Tamal was continuing to speak. And then Prabhupada interrupted him. And he said, actually, there is never a time when my spiritual master is not right by my side. So how is that? How is that? That means, as Saraswati Thakur noted, he likes to hear, I have marked him. Yes, I will accept him as my disciple. The problem is we don't really hear deeply and we don't apply enough. It's not that we're not following Srila Prabhupada. That's not the message of this seminar. It's that we need to go deeper. We need to improve. We need to keep him squarely in the center practically, not just as a figurehead, not just as some distant grandfather figure, but actually, practically. So we need to deeply study his books. We need to study his spoken word on the morning walks, the room conversations, which were all about application most of the time, although he was also speaking Shastra. And we just need to do that more and more and more. And that's how the Madhvas have gone on for 800 years, and that's how the Ramanujis have gone on for 1,000 years. This is the 1,000-year anniversary of his birthday. Ramanuja is coming up soon. So, Sakale Neha Mahata, Yoga Nashtak Parantapa. Krishna told Arjuna, I'm speaking this Gita to you because in due course of time, the message as it is has been lost. So that's always the danger. And right from the get-go, when Saraswati Thakur left, there was disobedience to his instructions, basic disobedience. And that's why the mission, as a concerted effort, organized effort, fell apart. So if we're going to really continue strong, you know, Prithivite Yachayata Nagarani Gram, Mahaprabhu said this was going to go to every town and village. He could have done that through the Gaudiya Math. He tried. He couldn't do it. They disobeyed. He'd like to do it through ISKCON. Are we going to do it? That's up to us. He's going to do it. As Krista told Arjuna, you just fight. They're already dead by my arrangement. Now you fight and take the credit. So we have a golden opportunity to do that. Mahaprabhu sent his Senapati Bhakta, his great military field commander, to capture everybody all over the world, every major continent, as we saw a couple of lessons ago. So Prabhupada is present. If we avail ourselves of his vani deeply, daily. What did Henry David Thoreau say that we quote on the back of the Gita? Daily I immerse my consciousness in the stupendous cosmogonal waters of the Bhagavad Gita, and it wasn't even as it is, beside which our modern literature seems puny and trivial. So daily, we really have to bathe ourselves deeply in Prabhupada's vani, his everlastingly present vani. So that is the answer. We just don't do it enough. And all the questions are there. All the answers are there. When we deeply immerse ourselves in the vani, then we get to know how Prabhupada responds in different situations. He told us. He gave us everything, and he's not kidding. He did. Okay, to love is to cooperate. Let's find out, first of all, to love means, let's see here. How come this isn't? Is it in the accessory? Why isn't it working? Are you sure it's? Try it again. Many a slip twixt the remote and the lip. Okay, hey, you can do it. Okay, there we are again. Hey, look. Is the radiator still there? I haven't been there in the room yet. Is that how it looks? Okay. And there's Prabhupada's personal servant, Shruti Kirti Prabhu. Looks like they're having a nice light moment. There's Bali Mardan Prabhu. And Shruti Kirti is classically behind Prabhupada. Shruti Kirti, he would say in his book, if you've read What is the Difficulty, he would say, I never got to see Prabhupada's expressions while I was massaging him because I was behind Prabhupada. It's like Bhishma Dev. He was more fortunate in one sense than Arjuna because he saw Parthasarathi from the front. He could see the full, you know, face and form, whereas Arjuna was at his back during the battlefield. Okay, so let's see. It's still not responding. It's funny. It's lit up. It's working here. Okay. So love is to serve. Okay, why don't you go back one, Prabhu, if you can. Yeah. Okay, to love is to... I'm going to set up that punchline with the background here. So the background is Shruti Kirti's Prabhupada's personal servant, and they've come into, I think, Los Angeles, with typically oceanic reception, the likes of which we could never do these days in airports because of the whole planet now being chased by its bad karma. Everybody's terrorized by their own karma. And so Shruti Kirti is setting up with Prabhupada in his quarters, and he feels bad. He feels very bad because here's another airport reception. The devotees are blissful. They're crying. They're falling down. And Srila Kirti says, Srila Prabhupada, all of your disciples have so much love for you. It makes me feel so bad. I lack this intense love. When I'm dancing with you at the when I'm with you at the airport, I can see everyone dancing, chanting and crying. I have so much association with you, yet I don't feel this overwhelming love like they do. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. And then Shruta writes, I hoped he would say something to relieve my mind. He remained silent. Tormented, I finished his massage and went back to my room to finish preparing his lunch. After he chanted Gayatri Mantra, he called me into his room. As I entered, I offered my obeisances and looked up with great concern because he had such a serious look on his face.
So, do you like serving me?
He asked. Oh, yes, Prabhupada, I said. I like serving you very much.
Then that is love,
he explained. Everyone can do so many things, singing, dancing, jumping up and down, but you are actually doing something. Isn't this love? I guess so, Srila Prabhupada, I said.
So, you just do your service. That is all that is necessary. This is what love means, to do service.
If you notice, Prabhupada always translated bhakti yoga as devotional service. Bhakti is not simply some passive sentiment. It's active service. If I love somebody, I want to do something for that person. So, Is it work? Oh, what was wrong, do you know? It's the batteries. Well, we just changed them. Yeah, we just changed them. Oh, they weren't. Okay. Okay, whoop. So who wants to read that punchline? Prabhu, Ravindra, why don't you read that punchline? Now, the very human challenge is that we're being asked in this ISKCON Sangha to do our service cooperatively with so many different kinds of people that are so different from us, right? We're all so different materially. So we have to find our commonality in spirit. And so here is the next lesson. Love also means to cooperate. So now we're going to get into Prabhupada's famous, arguably, his farewell, you know, request to all of us, famous request about cooperating. And so I'm going to set you up for the quote by looking at two documents, a passage from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, and then a passage from Tamal Krishna Maharaj's diary. And this is how that famous love means to cooperate quote came to be. Now, the context is 1977. It's Srila Prabhupada's last year with us on the planet. And the devotees had gone with Srila Prabhupada to Rishikesh in the foothills of the Himalayas to try to recover, help Prabhupada recover his health. It did not work. Prabhupada is wan and as emaciated and as low energy as ever. And so Prabhupada's response to this is that now we're going back to Vrindavan because it's time for me to leave. And the devotees were so upset that Prabhupada's going to Vrindavan to leave this world. But Prabhupada also said something. He said that he was in anxiety because he was sensing his manifest lila was winding down, and he wanted to make sure that after he left, ISKCON would be secure. All the properties, all the assets. So Prabhupada says it's time to make a will. And here's how it goes. The writing of the will, this is from the Lilamrita, would not be done with the attitude that the end had come, but in the spirit of, quote, preparing for the worst. It also meant finishing things so that they would not have to be done at the last minute. Prabhupada was concerned that his movement continue securely, with all ISKCON properties in the possession of his disciples, within the institution, and all his instructions made clear for the future. These matters should be dispatched now in a will, and the GBC men should gather in Vrindavan to make these last arrangements and to be with him. Once these things were settled, Prabhupada would be free to continue writing his books with no worries. As you know, Prabhupada was dictating right up to the last. Tamal Krishna wanted to double check to see that Prabhupada actually wanted all the GBC men from all over the world to come. It would be costly and demanding. So he wanted to be sure that Prabhupada really wanted it. When Srila Prabhupada assured him that he did, Tamal Krishna, who saw his service as responding to whatever Srila Prabhupada desired, also spoke in favor of the idea. So here's the line that set up Prabhupada for the famous quote. Tamal says, "Because they love you, I am sure they will all want to come and be with you." So Srila Prabhupada famously replies, let's see. Mataji, you want to read that? Institution. Yes. Your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate to keep this institution together after I am gone. Now, that quote was gotten in an interview with Tamal Krishna Maharaj for the Leelamrita, by the Leelamrita team. Later, after TKG wrote his diary, he went back to his diary notes and saw it was a little different. Now, here's how it's a little different. Tatvavit Prabhu. I just got an email last night that the people listening in can't hear you folks. So could you please get a, I forgot to mention this, could you please get a mic for the audience? Is there such a thing? Okay, either that or I'll just have to repeat for, it's going to be a little tedious, but I'll just do it in this case. So the way Tamal Krishna Maharaj repeated or gave the version in his diary was, "Your love for me will be tested. How after my departure you maintain this institution. We have glamour and people are feeling our weight." By glamour, Prabhupada's not talking about Hollywood. He's talking about popularity here. That's what he means. We're popular. "And people are feeling our weight. This should be maintained." Now, I like this quote a little better because the word tested is more pointed and poignant and challenging. We're being tested. And in both cases, though, interesting how Prabhupada definitely said the word institution. In Hawaii, where I've been based for the past 10 years, the famously unorganized hippie Krishnas living all over the Hawaiian Islands once complained to Prabhupada, right in his quarters, two of them, said, "Why do we have to be so organized?" And Prabhupada said, "Oh, we have to be very, very organized to take this to every town and village, to spread this all over the world. Govinda's institution is also Govinda," Prabhupada said. So that's no small challenge, to be organized, to have an institution, and yet keep the spirit of personalism and love and trust. So, but that is the famous occasion of the quote. To love is to cooperate. No small order in Kali Yuga. So we're going to do a little dialectic now. On one hand, we have a thesis, to love is to cooperate. And now we're going to get the antithesis of that in another quote from Srila Prabhupada. And here it is. Don't expect utopia. Who does not know what utopia means if your English is not your... Or tell me what you think it means, even if English is your first language. Indriyesh, what is utopia? Exactly. It comes from a Greek word, two words, ou topos. It literally means no, not place. There's no place, actually, where this exists. Don't expect utopia. Indriyesh Prabhu, what is going on in the bottom frame? Can you tell us?
Krishna leaving Vrindavan.
Yeah, Krishna Balaram. And who's trying to stop him? Who are they trying to stop, actually? Akrura. Now, there are liberated souls, pure spirits, pure devotees of the Lord, and they are fighting. But Krishna is the center of the fighting. So they're both acting transcendentally. So in the spiritual world, it's not you know, some bland, what do you say, opposite of the material world. But it's actually life in its full form. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's an ocean of rasas. And all the rasas here are simply pale, perverse reflections of the original feelings and relationships and tastes and rasas in the spiritual world. So there's also envy there, there's intrigue, you know, there's a kind of fighting, but Krishna's the center. So this is Prabhupada's point. Now I'm going to put a letter on the screen. Well, first I'll set it up. I'm just going to read for the benefit of the listening audience. This is a letter that Prabhupada wrote to a godbrother of mine who's very qualified materially and a little older than many of the devotees. So he had a complaint, and the complaint that the godbrother made to Srila Prabhupada in a letter was that these devotees, they're so immature, they're so insensitive, they're always fighting because they treat each other impersonally. They're impersonalists, and that's why there's so much fighting. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada could have granted him his point and taken another tack, but he chose to say something very pointed to his very materially qualified disciple. He knew that this person needed to hear something. And so this is how Prabhupada responded to the complaint. It is not so much that because there may be some faults in our God brothers and God sisters, or because there may be some mismanagement or lack of cooperation, that this is due to being impersonalists. Prabhupada said, no, it's not. The devotees aren't impersonalists. This is not why they have their differences, because they're impersonalists. And Prabhupada says, it is the nature of the living condition to always have some fault. Listen to these lines. They're very surprising. It is the nature of the living condition to always have some fault. Even in the spiritual world, there is some fault and envy. And then the mind's thinking, what? What is Prabhupada saying? I want to get out of here and go to the spiritual world. Don't tell me there's fault and envy there, Srila Prabhupada. Now here's what Prabhupada means. Sometimes the gopis will quarrel over Krishna's favor. And once Krishna was so much attracted to Radharani that by mistake he tried to milk a bull instead of a cow. And sometimes when the gopis used to put on their dress and makeup for seeing Krishna, they would be too much hasty and smear kumkum and mascara in the wrong places. And their ornaments and dresses would appear as if small children had been trying to dress themselves. And they were not very expert like that. There are so many examples, but it is not the same as material fault or material envy. It is transcendental because it is all based on Krishna. Sometimes when one gopi would serve Krishna very nicely, the other would say, oh, she has done so nicely. Now let me do better for pleasing Krishna. That is envy, but it is transcendental without malice. So pure envy, the original envy, is when you're jealous that somebody pleased Krishna so nicely, but your response is not a destructive response. It's not that you want to tear down that person. It inspires you. Oh, I want to do better. I want to please Krishna more. You know, the old transcendental competition. So it's an ever-increasing spiral of service. So there's envy, but it's pure. It's transcendental. Okay. So we shall not expect that anywhere there is any utopia. Rather, that is impersonalism. So again, Prabhupada, in that, you know, rhetorical jujitsu, he turns the words back on the complainer and says it's impersonal to expect utopia. Rather, that is impersonalism. People, now here's the quote. Let's see. Any Mataji's in the back? You're so far away. Can you see this screen? Okay. Mataji sitting down in the chair. Want to read this? As you like. I'm technically challenged, so fix me up. There we go. So for the benefit of the listening audience, see it now?
Hare Krishna.
Good.
Maybe just for questions at the end.
Well, the people in the audience cannot hear when I ask them to read. Now the ladies are left out again. Historically neglected, abandoned, abused, deprived, right?
Right.
Okay. Okay. But they're very tolerant and patient, so. Okay, Prabhuji Indriyesh, you want to read?
People, excuse me. People should not expect that even in Krishna consciousness society there will be utopia. Because devotees are persons, therefore there will always be some lacking. But the difference is that their lacking have become transcendental, because despite everything, they may do their topmost intention is to serve Krishna.
Prabhupada knows that his complaining disciple needs to hear this. And then Prabhupada, next in the letter, he quotes a line from the Gita about Apichet Siddharacharya. One who is engaged in devotional service, despite the most abominable action, is to be considered saintly because he is rightly situated. And then here's how Prabhupada ends the letter. The devotees of Krishna are the most exalted persons on this planet. Better than kings. All of them, he's telling his disciple, and all of us. So we should always remember that, and like the bumblebee, always look for the nectar, or the best qualities of a person. This is Krishna. This is what he does with us. He's called Bhava Grahi Janardana. He looks for the best intent, even if we're so, you know, clumsy and crude, and there's so many other inartas surrounding the good intent. That's Krishna just takes the essence. So we have to be like that, because we're of him. That's how we are originally, but now we've become covered and dirtied and, you know, like that. Not like the utopians. Now Prabhupada again takes the word utopians, who are like the flies who always go to the open sores or find the faults in a person. And because they cannot find any utopia, or because they cannot find anyone without faults, they want to become void, merge, nothing. They think that is utopia, to become void of personality. So if there is sometimes slight disagreements between devotees, it is not due to impersonalism, but it is because they are persons, and such disagreements should not be taken very seriously. The devotee is always pessimistic about the material world, but he is very optimistic about the spiritual life. So in this way, you should consider that anyone engaged in Krishna's service is always the best person. Perfect response by Srila Prabhupada. If you hear Prabhupada speaking in room conversations or morning walks, sometimes it seems that Prabhupada has not understood the question. And in fact, sometimes he doesn't hear it. But more often than not, the way Prabhupada is responding is he's responding not so much to the content of the question, but to the intent, the attitude with which the question is asked, the question behind the question, if you will. This is the expertise of our founder, Acharya. Okay, that was in 1972, that letter. Okay, so we have the thesis, if you love me, you're going to cooperate, antithesis, but don't expect utopia. Don't expect this is going to be easy. All right? And now, here's the synthesis in the dialectic. Famous line, easier said than done, but it is what we have to do. Find unity in diversity. Now, I've chosen another letter to illustrate this. A year later, Prabhupada is writing to another disciple about the necessity of finding unity in diversity, which reflects actually the nature of reality. Reality is there's sameness, and conceivably at the same time there's oneness and there's difference. There's always that running through all of reality, material or spiritual. So let's see if I can... All right, the materialist. So let me set this up. So Prabhupada writes, Material nature means dissension and disagreement, especially in this Kali Yuga. But for this Krishna consciousness movement, its success will depend on agreement. But what does that mean? Because we just read that there's, even in the spiritual world, there's disagreement. So here's what Prabhupada says. Even though there are varieties of engagements, so agreement in variety. In the material world, there are varieties, but there is no agreement. Why? Because there's no common center, really. People pretend there is, whether it's the country or whatever cause, but deep down, people are just attached to their material differences. In the spiritual world, there are varieties, but there is agreement. That is the difference. The materialist, without being able to adjust the varieties and the disagreements, makes everything zero. They cannot come into agreement with varieties. But if we keep Krishna in the center, then there will be agreement in varieties. This is called unity in diversity. And now Prabhupada makes it a very practical proposal or a plea here. He says, I am therefore suggesting that all our men meet in Mayapur every year during the birth anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With all GBC and senior men present, we should discuss how to make unity in diversity. But if we fight on account of diversity, then it is simply the material platform. Let's see. Yeah, okay, I already did that. It is simply the material platform. Okay. So I already read it. Sorry about that. It is simply the material. Please try to maintain the philosophy of unity in diversity. That will make our movement successful. One section of men have already gone out. Prabhupada is now referring to some whole group of devotees just leaving out of frustration or anger or whatever. One section of men have already gone out. Therefore, we must be very careful to maintain unity in diversity. And remember the story in Aesop's Fables. Prabhupada doesn't invoke Hitopadesh or Panchatantra. He invokes to his Western disciple Aesop's Fables because he knows the devotee can relate to that. Of the father of many children with a bundle of sticks. When the father asked his children to break the bundle of sticks wrapped in a bag, none of them could do it. But when they removed the sticks from the bag and tried one by one, the sticks were easily broken. So this is the strength in unity. If we are bunched up, we can never be broken. But when divided, then we can become broken very easily. This is Maya's favorite tactic, divide and conquer. Okay. Okay, so that's the synthesis. Easier said than done. And one challenge we have to finding unity and diversity is the next, yes, is what we talk about in the next slide. Principles and details. My, oh my. This is really what most of our disagreements in our ISKCON society is all about. What's an unchangeable principle and what's an adjustable detail? And this came up all the time, even in Prabhupada's presence. And here I'll set up the quote here. Again, it's a Shrutakirti anecdote from What is the Difficulty? Shrutakirti and Prabhupada are traveling in Indonesia. And then on October 11th, well, I'll just read. Shrutakirti writes, we arrived in Manila, Philippines, on October 11th, 1972. Just before lunch on the 12th, I was massaging Srila Prabhupada in his hotel room. While I was rubbing the mustard oil on his back, Srila Prabhupada said, now, this is just out of the blue, but it's not quite out of the blue. Don't forget, it's 1972, it's October, it's the fall. Back in the spring, Prabhupada had broken ground on the Mayapur Chandradaya Mundir, and he invited his godbrothers for that event. And it was a very big event because it was the first time the godbrothers had come together to visit him after his big success in the West, which is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So they are acknowledging the wonderful work he's doing. But they had complaints, too. And here's one of the complaints. Prabhupada said, my godbrothers, let me see here. Yes. My god brothers criticize me that I have allowed women to live in our temples. This is not done in India, but I have become successful because I made this adjustment. So for the god brothers, Prabhupada's allowing ladies into the same temples with men is like a super no-no. It's like a violation of a basic principle. And you could say maybe they had Shastric support for that. You're talking about fire and butter. It's a verse in the Bhagavatam and the dangers of that. Of course, when Prabhupada invited us to live in the temples, we're living with certain codes of etiquette too. So Prabhupada, he said, but I have become successful because I made this adjustment. Now for Prabhupada, it wasn't a principle. It was a detail. And there was a higher principle to be honored here. That somehow or other get them to become Krishna conscious. When Prabhupada left India, came to America and traveled around the world, he saw that in the modern world, men and women are educated pretty much the same. And if we don't let ladies come to these temples, they have no access to Krishna consciousness. Because in Prabhupada's time, there was hardly any congregation in the West. There was just people huddled in temples. So how are the girls going to get aboard? How are they going to have access to Krishna consciousness unless Prabhupada lets them in? So I have become successful because I made this adjustment. Now, as soon as Prabhupada said that, just imagine that Shruti Kirti is massaging Srila Prabhupada with mustard oil. And as soon as Prabhupada says that, Shruta's mind, it starts reeling and turning. And he wants to ask a question now because this seems like such a heavy adjustment. You know, compared to traditional India, that Shruta's thinking, I've got to ask this question right. I've got to say it right. And so this is what he says. We got the mic now, so forgive us. We're gonna. I want to read the question here. Here's the question.
Prabhupada, how can we tell the difference between making an adjustment and changing a principle? Prabhupada closed his eyes and I continued to rub his body. Finally, he opened his eyes and responded, that requires a little intelligence.
That requires little intelligence.
Prabhupada immediately, he didn't say it. He let Shruta let the suspense build in Prabhupada's, because his godbrothers even didn't understand what it took to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So he's saying a little intelligence, that's the understatement of the yuga for me. A little intelligence, and that's still very often what blocks us from finding our unity amid all our diversity. Right? You can't change this. And well, interestingly enough, there was another devotee in the room observing this exchange, and he wrote about it in another book he wrote. Have you heard of Borijan Prabhu? Srima, one of our foremost educators in ISKCON. He wrote a nice book called My Glorious Master. So Borijan Prabhu was in the room. So I'll set up the quote. He writes about it in My Glorious Master. Sri Chakirti's question was penetrating, clearly delineating between the adjustable and the non-adjustable, between a detail and a principle is not easy. It requires intelligence. And now pass the mic to somebody. Want to read? Maybe it's a little awkward. We'll just have a reader. Okay, there you go. Okay, so there you go. Want to read that, Prabhu?
To foolishly mistake a non-adjustable principle for an adjustable detail will cause havoc in spiritual life, and to accept each details as if it can never be adjusted is fanaticism. Fanaticism will cause havoc of a different nature.
Yes. Fanaticism will cause havoc of a different nature. And then Borijan goes on. He says, if we have developed our spiritual intelligence, we can make distinctions between principles and details. But we should confirm our opinions with trusted friends or superiors. Very important point. Even if we think we know better, we shouldn't be so proud that we're going to just do it on our own. We should consult. As Prabhupada himself showed us, he would ask us, what do you think? He was training us to consult. What do you think? He knew best. But he would say to us, you know, what do you think? In other words, think. Try to think. Use your brain. Use your God-given intelligence. Tadami buddhi jogam tam. If you're sincere, Krishna will give you the intelligence. And then Borijan says, if we haven't developed our spiritual intelligence, we should take guidance from those who have and not act independently. When we start isolating ourselves, removing ourselves from the sangha of serious and sincere devotees, we start to have problems. And we've seen this in our history from the highest Prabhu down to the most humble Prabhu. You know, isolation is the big killer of the devotional creeper. Okay. All right. Okay. So that's the big, that's a big challenge to finding unity in diversity. Now, we can't really find unity in diversity unless we're happy, unless we're a little mature and secure in our own Krishna consciousness. If I'm not mature and secure in my own Krishna consciousness, I'm going to be forever projecting my insecurities and anarthas onto others. I'm going to see everything through a glass darkly. Jai, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. So how to become a little mature and secure in our own spiritual life? So we're a little open to diversity. We're a little open to appreciating others' contribution. We're a little open to different ways of doing things. The world doesn't dance to my tune. You know, I'm not God. So how are we going to find our unity in diversity and see that people can do things in different ways, in different authentic ways? Well, here's the next slide. Okay. Any ladies recognize what this slide is? Who's in the picture writing? Raise your voice. Good guess. It is said that Jiva Goswami never changed a word. You said Jiva, right? It said that only Jiva Goswami, and it said sometimes of William Shakespeare, never changed a word. Jiva wrote 4 lakh of verses. He wrote like the wind. But it's not Jiva Goswami. Good guess. Who might it be? Madhaji, Raminis Rath. Rupa Goswami. And how did you know that? Because you looked at the girl in the background, right? Who's the girl with Krishna? Who is Krishna? Who's the girl with Krishna? Yes. Madhaji, who is that girl in the background? Srimati Radharani, you know the story? Behind it? Yeah, she came, well, actually with different foodstuffs. Because Rupa wanted to honor his brother on his birthday. And so he did. And then Sanatan said, thank you, but where did you get all this paraphernalia? Oh, a nice girl in the forest where I was riding, she came up and, oh yeah, what did she look like? And then Rupa began describing, oh, you've done a big blunder. You've taken Seva from Radharani. Okay, that's not relevant to the words that are going to appear now. But I just had to put that up there because it was the best picture of Rupa I found, you know, on the images. So, a key to becoming a little mature and secure in our devotional service so that we could begin to acknowledge others' authentic contributions, diverse contributions, is associate with like-minded devotees. We all have to find our people within the people. We have to find our mission within the mission. We have to find our community, our people who are similarly focused. Now, like-minded devotees doesn't mean buddies that I hang out with who reinforce my anartas and my material desires, you know, and just so we can just stay comfortably in our comfort zone and forever just hang out on Sakama Bhakti, right? No. Rupa Goswami says, one must associate with like-minded Vaishnavas who are pure, more elevated, and realized. Now, what is that all about? Well, it's inevitable. We heard about finding our mission within the mission, that we're going to be attracted to serving Srila Prabhupada's mission in a certain way because of our nature, because of our own prarabdha karma, because of our history. And that's okay. Krishna says in the Gita, now here, by following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Next verse, that's 1845, 1846, by worship of the Lord, who was the source of all beings and who was transcendental. Every person can attain perfection. So that's the beauty of Krishna, of bhakti, that we don't deny our tendencies toward work, but we can actually use them to serve Krishna. Okay, so it's inevitable that in Prabhupada's grand mission, we're going to be attracted. Some people are attracted to, let's read here. Yes, this is nicely written about in Srila Prabhupada Meditations, Volume 1, Chapter 3. Satsri Maharaj wrote about this party spirit and how there's inevitable differences, but how to overcome those. Even within the authorized ISKCON understanding and carrying out of the instructions, there are inevitable parties. Right? This party spirit exists even in the spiritual world, among the different wings of gopis, or among devotees serving in the various rasas. Mother Jashoda and her friends look upon Krishna's activities from a different point of view than do the young gopis. And the cowherd boys have their own point of view. So let us work in a party of like-minded devotees for carrying out Prabhupada's instructions. And now Maharaj explains what he means by that. By taking up the service of Srila Prabhupada, which most attracts our heart, and to which we feel we can give our greatest efforts, we will enter into association with devotees who are like us. A certain group will gather up from Prabhupada's writings all he has said about living on farms, for example, and they will feel nourished by those instructions while they work on a farm to carry on cow protection and ox power. They will live in a kind of trance of conviction that they are carrying out Prabhupada's most important mission. What about those who are distributing his books? Are they opposed to the Varnashram Sevites, servants? No, although sometimes in the rhetoric of the party... I got to get a sponge for my dry fingers. In the rhetoric of the party spirit, devotees may sound like that. They may sound like they're, you know, arguing about what's the best, you know. My guru's the best and my service is the best and blah, 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 you know, the monkey mind, on and on. Let us not be agitated by the party spirit and neither be discouraged. Let everyone come together, and Maharaj says, at least sometimes, and appreciate Prabhupada as the universal teacher. Let's all draw the same conclusion from his life and teachings, that he is our inspiration and that this is expressed in many ways. Uh-huh. So we have to be able to find unity in diversity. We can only do that when we're a little mature, we're getting out of Kanishta, you know, it's all about me and Prabhupada or just me and the deity. No, it's not that. It's about us. We're only going to go back to Godhead together. We need each other. I once wrote Gopi Puranadana Prabhu when I was researching this seminar last summer before Gopi passed away, unfortunately for us. I said, Gopi, who's the deliverer? Who's the deliverer here? Is it the Diksha Guru? Is it the prominent Shiksha Guru? Is it the founder Acharya? Is it Krishna? I mean, Krishna says, Ahang Tvang Sarva Pape Bhyo Moksha Yashami, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Who is it? So he said, well, I'm on a train in China right now. I don't have all my references in front of me, but I know if I looked at Jiva's Sandarbhas that I could not pin Jiva down to one person. Sampradaya Vihinaye Mantraste Nishpalamata. It takes a sampradaya to raise a sadhaka. If it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a sampradaya to raise a sadhaka. Unless we're connected to a bona fide disciplic succession going all the way back to the original deliverer, Krishna, the actual fruit of whatever we're doing and whatever we're chanting, we won't taste. So we need it all. We need Krishna, obviously. We need Founder Acharya of our line. We need Diksha Gurus. We need Shiksha Gurus. And we need each other. Yeah, you better believe it. Because the absolute truth is relational. It's not just Krishna. It's Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna is at the center of existence. The center of existence is not a black hole or a big bang or whatever the scientists are saying. The center of existence is this beautiful love affair between Radha and Krishna. So we need loving exchanges. We need to. We can only find that if we're a little responsible. We take responsibility for our spiritual life and we become a little mature and a little secure. And then we can acknowledge diversity. Diversity of offerings within the parameters of Guru Sadhu Shastra. But we're all different. Only Krishna, who is Akila Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of rasas, only he can perfectly relate to everybody, all his infinite parts and parcels. We're infinitesimal. So it's not just in this material world that we sometimes say, oh, I can't relate to him. I can't relate to her. Of course, because we're tiny. We can only relate within a certain range. Krishna, only he can relate to everybody, even in the spiritual world. You know, look at that picture. Look at the gopis. They can't relate to what Akura is doing. don't take Krishna Balaram. You rascal. And he's a pure devotee, Akura. So, anyway. Here we go. So we have to find our community. You know, like even in the material world, there's writers' colonies and there's business associations and then there's the Lions Club and the Ladies Auxiliary. And that's what people do. So that's also true in spiritual life. We have to find devotees who are inspired as we're inspired to serve Prabhupada's mission in a certain way. And then we'll become fired up. And then if we're mature, we can appreciate other people's contributions. Right? Yes. Okay. So, that's the lesson. That's an interesting, look at this. You see, I see how I chose those pictures. They look a little shadowy, huh? Is that really Prabhupada? No, it's fictional Prabhupada. That's another lesson in the lesson. Okay, I'm going to read what we looked at this morning, and then if you have any questions or comments, please raise your hand. And remember, there's no such thing as a foolish question. Love means to serve. Love also means to cooperate. Krishna consciousness is not utopia. How to find unity in diversity. The differences, and the challenge to that is the differences are differences over what's a principle and what's a detail. And finally, we looked at associating with like-minded devotees to serve our founder, Acharya. And that's one of the panchangas. That's one of the five most important things, Rupa Goswami says. When he lists those five, you know the five most important angas? Prabhu, can you say them? Right. Yes, very good. And what we forget is when we hear associating with devotees, how did Rupa spell it out? Associating with like-minded Vaishnavas who are pure, more elevated, and realized. And after he said that, you know what he said? It's right in here. I'll just remember it. He says, I have said this before. He said it twice. But I say it again to reiterate its importance. So, a word to the wise. Okay. So that's what we did this morning. I heard a comment yesterday. I said, because after I gave the session yesterday, I asked a devotee, I said, well, what do you think? I felt a little better about it yesterday because I felt like a little more comfortable. You know, when you come into a place, you don't know the people, and I felt a little stiff the first morning. I said, I felt pretty good about yesterday, about today, Prabhu. What did you think? He said, well, I liked it, but I heard something at breakfast. Somebody was saying, you know, I thought we were going to figure out the Varnashram thing. There was going to be some, now I'm just putting the words, but the paraphrase was, it's like somebody was expecting a magic potion, a silver bullet, a quick fix. No, that's your... That's your job. I'm simply giving Prabhupada's words, and now it's up to the devotees to discuss of how we're going to proceed with these words. And to be fair also, I'm just giving a sample of the seminar. I didn't tell you the previous lesson, which is more about Varnashram, so you would have gotten more hints and more clues from Varnashram, clearing the confusion. That's lesson 6 in the seminar. Anyway, there's no quick fixes. Even if you have the whole seminar, then it's like yesterday, we were at the retreat center, the Christian retreat center, and I gave 3 lessons to the manor managers. And then they did a very nice thing. Then they reflected on the points that really struck them. And now hopefully they'll build on their realizations, and it'll help them manage. I hope. But I'm just the catalyst here. I'm just presenting Prabhupada, and it's up to every yatra to take Prabhupada's words and live them, translate them into policy, attitudes, improvement. Okay, any questions or comments? Prabhu, Chaitanya Jivan. Okay, there is listening audience. We are going to get a mic here. Fear not. Okay, come closer, Chaitanya Jivan. Take that, go that extra mile, or that extra few steps. Here it comes, the question, Prabhu's. Yes.
Out of all these 3 classes, the thing that struck me the most is this disagreement amongst devotees, or in other words, really accepting diversity in opinions. So something that was very clear with the gopis and Krishna Balaram, that's extreme pain. That's so intense. Their whole lives have been changed upside down.
Yeah.
I think you can sort of take it for granted, but I'm wondering, this idea of accepting each other and at the same time saying exactly what you feel, is this emotional wider intelligence that devotees are supposed to have, where we can literally say things that could possibly jeopardize our whole position in, say, for instance, a temple or a place, we have to really shift and move. There seems to be what presented by that Leela there, that we're afraid to speak up our minds. We might be lynched. We might be ostracized by certain people's opinions. Look what Krishna and Balaram did to the gopis.
I feel like I'm being set up. I don't live here. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Could you just defang that question and there are no fangs.
For me, there is no fangs. It's okay. Clear that you're demonstrating that's how we live in the spiritual world,
yeah,
where we can really upset each other. And it's very clear. So I'm just looking at it and thinking this, to take on board this wider emotional intelligence, that now it really spells it out that we really can be thrown from pillar to post in our devotional service in ISKCON, or as a way of life, as something to get used to in the spiritual world.
Yeah, because there's no utopia, right? Anywhere. So let me see if I can boil this down. How to be ourselves, how to be open and honest, and not get killed. Is that what you're... Yeah, that's a good question. I would say one reason that... I'll get to the question, but one reason that this year's GBC meetings were successful is we had this ISKCON Leadership Sangha, and for the first time, and does everybody know what this ISKCON Leadership Sangha is all about? Okay. The GBC, through their friends, the strategic planning team, invited 300 to 400 I think it was 400 leaders throughout the ISKCON world. You know, temple presidents, regional secretaries, ministers, you know, just whoever is considered a leader was invited to come and participate in what's called ISKCON Leadership Sangha. So there were 48 presentations in 7 days. So obviously people couldn't bilocate. They couldn't be at every presentation at once. But everybody was hearing seminars on different exciting things going on in the ISKCON world. We got a real taste of the depth and diversity of what's going on in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And the idea being that the GBC was also hearing reports of these presentations. What I'm getting at is that for the first time, perhaps, I know it happened to me, for the first time in decades, I felt I had a voice, because we had our committee making our presentations, the Srila Prabhupada Position Committee. Arvinda Swarup, he was presenting the origin and the full ramifications of Founder Acharya. That was his seminar. Bhakti Charuswami was giving a seminar on Prabhupada's historical uniqueness as the Founder Acharya. And I was giving this seminar, Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, about Prabhupada's life, teachings, mood, and mission. And so we really felt we were getting our message across in a very powerful way. And that leaders were hearing it, and GBCs sometimes they would drop in, and they were getting reports. So when we have that kind of open and honest communication amongst people, don't forget, these are leaders. So there was a degree of maturity and a degree of dedication and commitment that people wanted to hear. They wanted to hear. Even people, even if the opinions expressed or the angle of the contributions to Prabhupada's mission was not necessarily appreciable. Yes, do your duty, please. So it was a good glimpse of what can happen when people who are really committed to Prabhupada's mission and very diverse come together in a mood of open and honest communication. And this ILS thing is not going to die. I can see this. I mean, the GBC liked it. Everybody liked it because there was communication. Nothing happens without communication. Communication breeds cooperation, breeds commitment. The big C's, CCC, communication, cooperation, commitment. So, starts with chanting Hare Krishna and trusting Krishna. And then that we have to find our like-minded devotees. We have to be able to, express ourselves. And if we can't, if there's too much a culture of fear, and then nothing happens, right? Nothing happens. It's like, what is it? In the sometimes Prabhupada would compare it to devotional service. He said, you have to execute this as if in military discipline, as if. Because in the military, it's based on fear and hate, envy. The whole world's based on envy, basically. But in spiritual circles, we have to recover our love and trust. And that can only be done when it starts right here with me. If I'm too afraid, then I'm blocking my own spiritual life. I have to trust. So you want to add something to that?
It's interesting you say that about the military, because I watched a speaker talking about his position in the military, and that he said you couldn't afford not to love each other.
You couldn't what?
You couldn't afford not to love each other.
Not to love each other.
Because going over the front line, you needed, as a platoon, to know each other inside out. And any disagreements that day had to be sorted. Otherwise, you just set each other up to get shot.
Yes, for the sake of the higher cause, you put aside your differences. That goes to a point. In my day, when I was a young man in the Vietnam War, very often people shot their superiors. Because if the superiors didn't know what they were doing and putting everybody in danger, they shot him, you know. Anyway, yes, we have to have love and trust. And that, okay, so there's an example of how there can be a certain degree of love and trust, even materially. There has to be to survive. So no magic bullet, a silver bullet, no magic potion, but you have to find that. You have to start somewhere. It starts with open and honest communication. You'll notice the yatras that are thriving the most, I think we talked about this yesterday, is where the leaders, the managers, I was telling this to Shruti Dharma yesterday, I noticed that where the leaders, the managers, you know, the GBCs, the temple presidents, whatever you, however you're organized, they really get what Krishna says when he says to Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. But one who says he's a devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. In other words, when devotee care, when devotee's needs are priority one in that yatra, then no worries, the trains will run on time. All the seva will be covered because devotees will flock to your yatra because they know that their needs, interests, concerns are going to be addressed and they're going to be able to thrive in devotional service. They're going to be able to grow as they cross that Daiva Varnashram bridge, as they go through different phases of life. That's where the yatras are thriving the most. So otherwise, we're just forever in our corners, hedging our bets. You know, we're we don't trust. So it just, to a certain extent, yes, the movement is still suffering from that.
What creates the culture of fear? What are those components really that has created, for instance? I feel in a culture of fear.
First, the fear comes from the bodily concept of life. Asadgraha, as Prabhupada would say, because we've taken shelter of that which is external to us, foreign to us, which is always slipping through our fingers. And this body starts with this body. I am this body. It's a hopeless proposition. This body is slipping by. The energy I had to dance 30 years ago in ISKCON is not there anymore. I can't do it. You hear Prabhupada say in a tape. So I like to, as a child, I like to jump. And I still like to jump, but I cannot jump. Still, Prabhupada jumped. He jumped right here. He jumped in London, but not the way we could. Anyway, so if we don't trust Krishna enough, and we don't trust spirit. We don't trust real life. Real life is love and trust. Real life is loving exchange. If we think it's some fantasy, if we think it's some impossible ideal, then we'll never make progress. So it starts with the individual. Like in the 1980s, when Ravindra Swarup Prabhu wrote his famous paper, Ending the Fratricidal War in 1985, when the Zonal Acharya era had wreaked its havoc on ISKCON, and we were realizing this is wrong. It's been imitative of Prabhupada's position. The movement's becoming very fragmented around Diksha Gurus who are imitating Prabhupada's supreme position. He wrote a paper called Ending the Fratricidal War, and he said, after he wrote the paper, maybe it was in the paper, he said, we realize, those of us who wanted reform in ISKCON, that if we're going to reform ISKCON, we have to be more reformed than the people we're trying to reform, right? We have to be the change we want to see, as Gandhi famously said. So it starts with an individual. And even if there is resistance or persecution or somebody takes away your Lakshmi, or your room, or if you're actually immersed in Prabhupada's life, teachings, mood, and mission, you won't be the loser. Did I tell you, I think maybe I told it yesterday, I told somebody here, of a decision I had to, a very heavy decision I had to make in 1975, how I ran away? Did I tell it in the class? Okay. I had to make this decision. I had to desert my temple on the eve of the 1975 Christmas marathon in order to advance in devotional service. And I knew in my heart, this is what I had to do. And sometimes that's what you have to do. But my gosh, here we are, 2012. It's not that we have to become Krishna conscious, not in spite of each other, but because of each other. You know, we have to be organized so nicely that we're facilitating each other. Okay, so to love is to cooperate in devotional service. I think we better continue the discussion later. Anybody else have a question? Mataji, want to get the... Okay, listening audience, have no fear. Here comes the microphone.
Sorry, it's not really a question. But I was just saying that when temple managers or leaders open themselves up to communicating more and new ideas, that requires them being open to changing the way things go on. And I'm just thinking that if people have been, you know, temple managers for a long period of time, perhaps it's really hard for them to be open to things being done differently than the way they've always been done. Just a reflection, yeah. Really.
Sure. It's called inertia.
Does that mean leaders should change frequently, maybe?
Not necessarily. It means it means whoever we are. We're all supposed to be leaders, right? We're all supposed to be able to receive shelter from Srila Prabhupada and the devotees and then give it. So we're all in the position. We have to... This is a Hare Krishna movement. That means we have to keep moving. We have a saying in America, even if you're on the right track, if you don't keep moving, sooner or later you're going to get run over. Or we have this dump bumper sticker, my karma ran over my dogma. That's a pun on car and dog, right? My karma ran over my dogma. It means the velocity, the momentum, the force of my desires, my own desires, ran over. It overtook my superficial spirituality. And I was forced to act on them because I was superficial in my spiritual practice. And this plays out all the time in people's lives. People backslide. People leave their path out of weak-heartedness because we don't go deep enough. We don't get a higher taste. So as regards management, Prabhupada said management follows preaching like a shadow. In other words, the real good manager, he's always inspiring people. Prabhupada's walking in a park. His disciple is with him, Atreya Rishi Prabhu, and Prabhupada turns to Atreya and said, why are these people lying down in this park? And so Atreya says, Prabhupada, they do not feel inspired. And Prabhupada says, well, you weren't inspired. In other words, you were just like them. You were also counterculture, you know, hippies and drug-smoking, lazy people. And you weren't inspired. And so the devotees spontaneously said, jai. Because Prabhupada inspired them. That's management. Management simply isn't policy. It's inspiration. Right? Okay. So we all have to be leaders. We all have to be inspired and inspiring. It's not just people with titles and positions. So it all starts with the fountain, you know, the spring, the wellspring of all inspiration. In our Sangha, that means the life, the teachings, the mood, and the mission of Srila Prabhupada. No magic bullets, folks. No magic potions. We have to keep our ears, or maybe reapply our ears, to the ground of Prabhupada's beautiful vani, his everlasting vani, which is much broader and deeper than what he had a chance to manifest in Vapu. Okay. I'm going to be here till Monday. I'll be at Soho tomorrow, and then Friday night addressing the former ashram devotees here, the community, and then the congregation on Saturday night. I guess that means a different sangha. But I'm also in my room a lot catching up on work, and if you want, you can come and we can talk. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Prabhu, Srila Prabhu ki
Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.